Russ and the dogs. Choo-choo.
That's it.
All right, we ran out of time last week, and I wanted to ask you about draft picks. So besides Nolan Patrick, who does Russ Cohen and the hockey prospects have in the top, you know, three-ish?
Well, I've got Timothy Liljegren there, but I just noticed he's not on the roster for Team Sweden, and it's because he has mono, and I'm guessing they feel like he won't be recovered in time, but he's really my he's up there too. And then there's Klim Kostin and Ili Tolvanen. Those are some of the big names. Vaiardi is another one, so Gabriel Vaiardi. So we'll see. I mean, it's early.
Is Patrick early, a lock or what? Or is there's a bet?
He's not a lock because he's injured now, and I think people are going to want to see him in the World Juniors, and we'll see if he's recovered by then. I mean, I wouldn't call him a stone-cold lock just yet.
Okay.
You know, interesting, when the guys start playing, and for every Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews, you see Essi Puljujärvi, for example, with the Edmonton Oilers, and you get guys that you go, man, this really isn't happening, and got to figure out a better destination when they're underages.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it doesn't all click, it doesn't look great. And so, like, I saw Joel Eriksson, that, you know, he got sent back to Sweden. And sometimes that's the option for someone like Jesse. He could play in the AHL. I mean, sometimes that's the option. You have to sort of look at these things. I mean, we get into that Matthew Barzal territory where he just wasn't playing, right? And you don't want these guys sitting, and you don't want them playing and struggling either. It's a fine line. It is.
Hey, Russ, where we're talking about Laine scoring all these goals, I think we shouldn't overlook a second-year player in Nikolai Ehlers, because I remember Paul Maurice last year talking about how great his shot is, but this kid has 17 assists.
Yeah, he's lightning fast. Like, he is a scary hockey player in the sense that you're a defenseman trying to cover him. I was watching Winnipeg against the Rangers a few weeks ago, and they had a hard time covering those guys, covering Scheifele, covering Ehlers, because they're big and they're fast. But Ehlers is a smart kid. His dad's a coach. He's got great vision. He does have a great shot, but he really is one of those guys that'll set up teammates probably more than he's going to score. But when you're that big and you can get open ice, it's dangerous.
You know, and with all these guys we're talking about, it's the young defensemen, the whole thing there about trying to assimilate themselves to the NHL, and that's why Aaron Ekblad was such a joy for the Florida Panthers a couple of years ago. And Zach Werenski, the rookie of the month for the month of November. And Columbus last year in what was a horrible season, they did a few things right. Their AHL team won it all. And then a kid like Werenski, really time well spent as far as his year went.
Yeah, no question. I actually, if you wanted to ask me who I think Norris Trophy candidates are right now, I think he'd be in the running. I don't think he'd win because I think Shea Weber would run away with it. But I think he'd be in the conversation. And for a first-year defenseman, I mean, he's covering every team's best player. He's playing top power play. He's playing top pairing. I'm not shocked that he's doing this because he's always sort of been a stud defenseman. I'm shocked that John Tortorella has allowed him to do this.
Hey, Russ, I just kind of a nice little follow-up here because we just had Brett Sergalis from the New York Post on, and he's the beat guy for the Rangers, talking about kind of the process that Jimmy Vesey is going through. But as just an individual player, for fans that haven't seen him, and I'm sure you have, he's maybe bigger than people think. I mean, well, you know, it's like 6'1"-ish and a couple hundred pounds. Describe what the fans are getting from him.
Okay, well, they're getting a guy that is really strong. Like, he spent his time at Harvard. Those guys, they get a chance to work out. They play on weekends. So you're getting a guy that was already going to be strong and NHL strong. You're getting a guy that has great hockey sense. He knows where to go with and without the puck. He has definitely made Rick Nash reborn, better, whatever you want to say. He has definitely helped him because he's like greasy. He's greasy around the goal mouth. He deflects pucks. He knocks pucks loose. He just knows how to shake the tree in that regard. He's a good skater, and he's really a 200-foot player. Like, he is just a very smart player, and right now he's in the right place at the right time. Still can't say he's like a mortal lock to be an every-year All-Star because you never know what happens year two. Year one, though, it's perfect. Perfect fitting, good coach to have him under, good players to have him playing with, perfect situation.
You know, just one area that came up as of late, different powerhouses, Union College has kind of come back like it was a while ago. University of Nebraska-Omaha It just seems like, and I'm trying to find the guys, the one guy that went to Pittsburgh, but just a few players have come up that have played for a team that, you know, was sort of in the backwoods for a while as far as hockey went, and give them credit for getting themselves in on the front burner.
Yeah, I mean, these kinds of teams, I remember Jed Ortmeier was a Ranger. He, I think he played a little bit there. Yeah, it's about recruiting. I mean, if you could get strong recruits, it really doesn't matter where you are. I mean, I cover Princeton a lot, and they've fallen on a little bit of hard times, but, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, they were pretty great. And it's not because you only get, like, NHL-caliber players. It's just because you're able to draw in good talent. And that's really the coaches. The coaches do great work with that. I mean, you go look at Penn State. I mean, that is the former Princeton coach, and they're getting players, and they're getting good.
Jake Guentzel is the guy you're thinking of.
Yeah, Gort, that's right.
From Pittsburgh.
Guentzel, yep.
And I think they had a goalie that was pretty decent as well.
They did have a goalie. I can't remember who it is right this moment.
So if we're talking about Jimmy Vesey at Harvard and you're talking about Princeton, how is Yale this year, Russell?
Haven't seen them, but they're always good. They always play a strong defensive game. But I haven't seen them yet this year, so I can't really say.
You can't say. Russ Cohen from Hockey Prospects Radio. Do you guys ever do the redrafts on your show? Like, do you pick a year and go, if only it were different?
No, we've never done that. I kind of think that's fun in a way, but it just doesn't fit, like, the format of the show. Like, this week we're going to have Brent Flair on from the Minnesota Wild, and we'll talk about, like, Joel Eriksson-Ek and other guys. It would be interesting if we did that and we had the directors of amateur scouting on from the other teams and see if they would redraft, but of course they would never want to do a segment like that.
Maybe just do like the top five. You don't have to do like, because some people do like go through the whole damn thing, but I just, you know, maybe do top five would be kind of goofy. I want to go out west for a second just because this also is a follow-up. It came up yesterday on the show. Strom goes back to junior, 19 years old. Chychrun, 18, stays.
Right.
Big mistake?
No, I don't think it's a big mistake. They have a lot of centers. That's really, and they did talk about that, and Tippett talked about that, and so it wasn't so much that Strom was the odd man out, it's just that unless he was going to be first or second line center, they didn't want him playing third or fourth line, and I don't blame them. Yeah. And so I think they did the right thing sending him back. Let him go back and have another great year, get some more strength on his body, let him work out great this summer, and then see if he can make the team next year. There's really no rush for him. Chychrun just happens to be a physical specimen. Like, this guy was just ready strength-wise no matter what. It was just the matter of would his defense be up to par for an NHLer? I mean, and that's a big, tall task, too, for any youngster. He was. He was up to it, but the strength wasn't going to be a factor to him. Strom's got all the other abilities, but the strength's not there, so you don't really want to put him in, you know, third or fourth line spot. I wouldn't want to do that either. So I think they did the right thing. I just think he sat too many games before they made that decision. That was all.
Wondering, as far as prospects, how you handle goaltending. I mean, saw last year Matt Murray kind of coming very quietly from nowhere to be the guy. Looks like Malcolm Subban, a first-round pick, you know, struggling to find his niche. You know, so for every Carey Price first-round pick, there seems to be one similar to that. And so top young goaltending prospects out there, whether they're drafted or not, who comes to mind for you?
Well, you know, this, for the draft, it would be like Jake Ottinger. He's a kid in college who could be a first-round draft pick. People will get to see him in the bean pot. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. Jordan Binnington is probably the number one guy in my mind, like just waiting to break onto that St. Louis roster. And you have to think maybe if this is the last year of the Hitchcock era that will happen next year, because he's a terrific goalie. I think he's in his third year in the AHL. Really, really great. Reminds me a lot of Murray because he's another tall, lanky guy who can handle a workload, very smart, very athletic. And so Binnington really comes to mind. I like what Stolarz did in his one game. I know that Flyers fans would like to see him again. There was some talk maybe they would see him yesterday because Steve Mason had a little snafu in practice. But no, Mason played and they won, so there was no issue there. But so we don't really know fully what Anthony Stolarz can do yet at the NHL level. And you know, so far he's only gotten in one game, but Binnington is pretty much number one on my list, like next guy ready to go.
What an organic transition you've just provided, Russell, to the Philadelphia Flyers, the team that you see more often than any other, and their goaltending situation. Seems like Mason might be kind of back on top of it, and the Flyers have a 3-game winning streak. What's going on there?
I think the biggest thing is that Mason is really locked in now, knowing that he's pretty much playing 99.9% of the game. So I think he's fully locked into that, and I think Claude Giroux is locked in. I know he just recently got engaged, and everybody's like, look, he scored all these goals because he got engaged. I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason he's scoring goals is because he's actually shooting the puck when he gets it to him rather than trying to make that perfect next pass to set up a teammate. Sometimes a little selfishness goes a long way. You guys know that as radio hosts. I mean, I just think that's really helped him because, especially on the power play, like, he's got a great shot. But a lot of times he was passing up that shot. Now he's not passing it up, and last night he gets two goals. I think that is a thing the Flyers could do down the line. I mean, look, they're the second-best power play in the league, but it is weird how they could look great and go 4 in a row, and then they can go, like, 0 for 7 in a blink of an eye. But I think if Giroux becomes more of a shooter on the power play, and just in the game in general, I think it would help their team a lot. I think that's where they need these extra goals.
Yeah, Gord.
Yeah, Simmer. Stop being so selfish.
Yeah, Gord.
Russ, thanks very much. As always, talk to you next week.
All right, boys.
Thanks, Russ.